Prayer beginning in chapter 8 in a few moments. Picture on the screen is of U.S. Navy veteran Ron White, who this past Thursday did a remarkable feat. He memorized some 7,000 words, 2,200 names. All those who have been killed in the Afghanistan war since its beginning. This is the recorded names of all the military fallen in Afghanistan. And he recorded them on a makeshift wall in downtown Fort Worth. And he did it, what's more remarkable, as I was saying, all from memory. Now, he is a former military servant himself, and he served in 2007 in Afghanistan. And his original idea, I think, he was looking at the Vietnam Memorial, and he was thinking, what's going to be done for those who have died in Afghanistan? And he teaches memory tools and memory skills by trade. And so he determined that he was going to memorize all the names of the ones who had been put to death or who had died. Isn't that incredible? Took him hours to do. And he did it. Just a little incidental note here. I was reading about how he did it. He did it by picturing places around Fort Worth. And in each place, he then, in his mind, he would go to that place. It was like a map of the whole area. And he would have a tree, and he would visualize himself at that tree. And at that tree, he would have the name, and he also did the rank and the serial number, or not the serial number, but the rank in the, I guess, the company that the person served in, and the name of the individual. And he said, so as he was writing this, it was like he just went all over his neighborhood and it would trigger in his memory. It took him, I think, 7 months or 8 months to memorize this. But he did it this past week and was able to write it all out. I thought that was interesting, and it fits in well with our lesson this evening, the necessity of remembrance. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that I have that ability. That's phenomenal to me to think about that kind of memory. But when we study the book of Deuteronomy, it's interesting that when Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, he is going to use the term remember 14 times in the book. And Deuteronomy is, of course, going to be three long discourses that Moses is going to give to the children of Israel before they crossed into the land of Canaan. And basically the term remembrance in the book of Deuteronomy, it doesn't just mean to call to your mind, but it means to call to your mind with an incentive to present action. In other words, remember this so that it will affect what you're doing now. In other words, it is not just remembering a grocery list, or it's not just remembering some random date, but rather it's remembering something that then motivates you or changes you or inspires you to do something now. Now, we do this every Sunday. This do in remembrance of me. And we partake in the Lord's Supper. And that is a present action that we're doing when we're remembering something that happened long ago. But it's not just a recalling, oh yes, Jesus died on the cross for us. But it is an incentive to change our life, to live holy, to remember that we have a stake in the Lamb, and that we are to treat our brethren correctly, our brothers and sisters, and that we are to live holy. It's an incentive to present action. Well, in the book of Deuteronomy, we find this term mentioned, as I said, 14 times. And I want to notice five things from Deuteronomy that we are to remember, that we are to remember. First of all, we need to remember who you were. It's found in Deuteronomy, this is the most common one, chapter 5, verse 15. Notice what it says there. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Over in chapter 15, verse number 15, you have it said on that occasion, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this today. Chapter 16, verse number 12. Moses would say, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt.
And then chapter 24, 17 through 22 will speak of this same idea. Notice, you shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner to the fatherless, or take a widow's garment in pledge, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there, and therefore I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widows, that the Lord your God may bless you in all your work and in all your land. He goes on to talk more about the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. And when you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, for you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt.
Moses says, I don't want you to ever forget. Now notice he's talking to the next generation. So many of these people weren't maybe literally slaves. They might have been children of slaves. But he's wanting them to remember that their fathers were slaves.
Why would that be important? Well, it'd be important to remember where they used to be so they'll know and appreciate where they are. Think about how you and I are supposed to remember who we were.
Now, I understand that Paul would speak, for example, in Philippians chapter 3, that we're supposed to forget what is behind and press on to what's ahead. And I understand there's a sense of where we don't need to live in the guilt of the past.
But Paul also said that he was the chief, 1 Timothy 1:15, he was the chief of sinners, that he was a blasphemer. He lists off many things. He was a persecutor, an insolent man. He lists off all those things about who he was, this great persecutor of the church. And he says, you line up all the sinners and I was chief. Paul never forgot who he had been. Jesus, of course, taught us in John chapter 8 that we were slaves of sin.
We need to realize that we're forgiven now, but don't forget where we were redeemed from. That we were rescued from the depth of sin, from the depth of hell, if you will. And we need to remember who we were so that we can then have a motivation to not want to go back there.
In other words, the prodigal son, after he had been in the pig pen, he did not forget what it was like to be in the pig pen. And once he went back to daddy's home and he was back eating the food at daddy's home and he was blessed by the father, he knew he didn't want to go back to the pig pen. You see, we need to remember who you were and who we were.
This should teach us then as well in chapter 24 of Deuteronomy here,
how to treat others. When he's trying to teach them these commandments about not hoarding things and leaving their grapes and leaving their sheaves so that the widows and the fatherless can have some food, the poor, he says, I want you to remember, you used to be poor. You used to be a slave.
You know, there's nothing sadder it might be for someone who grew up in a poor situation. We might think about a famous athlete now who makes millions of dollars, who maybe grew up in a very difficult situation, but now they have tremendous financial wealth.
And sometimes they just totally forget their past, don't they? Or maybe someone who they were through various means, they were able to go to school and earn some kind of degree, and now they are a doctor or they are some kind of profession that's making a lot of money, but they've kind of lost touch with where they used to be. It's sad, isn't it? That they don't have a concern for those who are poor, a concern for those who are in a similar situation that they used to be in.
God says, remember, when you look at the widow, when you look at the fatherless, when you look at the orphans, remember, you used to be a slave. And you leave them some food, and you care for them, and you be kind to them. Remember who you were, Moses says. The next thing Moses says is remember what God did. Remember what God did. Look at chapter 7, 17 through 21.
Moses would say, if you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so will the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. God goes on and talks about, in verse number 21, about how you shall not be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. We need to remember what God has done for us. Yes, we might dwell, and we should not dwell for long on who we used to be without quickly remembering what God did for us at the cross of Calvary. And just as Moses says, I want you to remember you were slaves. If you notice in each of those readings, or many of those readings as well, it says, but I redeemed you. But I reached out with an outstretched arm. The idea is God's arm is not too short. God's arm is powerful enough to reach and do whatever he needs to do. And so God says, I want you to remember what I did for you and the awesome and the mighty deeds that I did in Egypt. And this should give us hope. This should give us courage when we face our enemies, that we can overcome our enemies as well. In Ephesians 2, the Bible would speak of that and about how God moved and about how by grace we're saved through our faith. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about the same concept of God loving us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And of course, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God acted. God moved. Remember who we were, but also remember what God did. And then the next thing we want to note is that God gave them physical acts to help remember. Now, I think this is significant. For example, in the story of Deuteronomy and the story of the giving of the law, you have a lot of things given so that they can remember. For example, the Sabbath day. The purpose of the Sabbath day was to remember in many ways what God did for them, that they were slaves. The passages that deal with the Sabbath day as a commandment cite the idea that you were slaves and now keep the Sabbath. But what's the point of that? Well, you used to couldn't rest. You used to had to work all the time. You were slaves. But now, you're children of God. I want you to rest on the Sabbath day and reflect upon me. God also gave them these festivals. For example, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover Festival, where they would kill the lamb and they would eat the unleavened bread. The point of that was to remember. He gave them the Feast of the Booths, where they would go out for a week, I believe it was, and dwell out in tents. Now you think about that. Once they had cities and things, they were to go out and camp. Well, why were they to go out and camp? Well, the point was to remember the 40 years of wandering and what it was like to dwell in tents. God gave them many physical signs or things that they were due that were to jog their memory. We might think about others that they gave them, like God gave them, like the Day of Atonement, when he would require that the priest lay his hands on the goat and slaughter the goat, and then one goat was laid hands upon and sent out as a scapegoat out in the wilderness. It was a reminder that their sins were sent away and that their sins were atoned for by the blood of the animal. And then sometimes we, you know, Ryan in the song, we always talk about the Ebenezer, and Ryan will define that for us. Well, that's setting up an Ebenezer, a stone of help. You read throughout the Old Testament, many times they will set up these memorial stones. It's just some type of a monument, we might say, so that the people that will come will remember these deeds. Let me ask you to think about, what physical acts do we have that help us remember? We don't have, and we don't have to keep the Sabbath day in the sense of not working, but we are supposed to keep the Lord's day, aren't we? This is the Lord's day. Every, you know, Sunday should be a holy and special day. We do have physical acts, as I was mentioning earlier, like the Lord's Supper. But even we can extend it farther to think about our worship services, our singing, our Bible classes. And then we can even extend it farther to think about our Thanksgiving meals or our family meals and what, you know, having prayers before them. And then there's even a sense of where even in our broader cultural avenues, funerals and weddings, they even serve, and other type of celebrations we have like that, even serve as ways of remembering. And I think there's a real importance to those ceremonies.
we need to remember what God did and remember some of these significant things. Deuteronomy chapter 8,
11 through 18. This is a very often cited text to deal with our present world. He will say, remember who blesses you. Let's read this passage. Take care lest you forget. That's the opposite of remembering, right? Forgetting is the opposite of remembering. The Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and you're full, and you've built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions, with thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that you might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, listen to this, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might was by my hand. That I got these things by my hand and my power. That I have gotten this wealth. For you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth. It is him that gives you the power to get wealth. So when you go in and you have these houses and you have these vineyards and your family's multiplied and your gold and your silver's multiplied and all these things are going, Moses says, I want you to recall, don't forget God. And you start to think, boy, I have done a lot. I have earned a lot. I have gained a lot. I've worked hard. Look what I've accomplished. Remember, it is the Lord who gives you your talents and your abilities to get what you have gained. Remember who blesses you. I have a friend through the internet that I read his blog. He is a preacher at a Church of Christ out in Texas. And this is from several years back he put up. But it made an impression on me and I kept it. And I wanted to use it as an illustration today. He wrote this back in 2011, I believe. He said, I remember sitting in my doctor's office. He was telling about the lessons he had learned from cancer. And notice some of the lessons he says I've learned. He said, I'm not looking for sympathy today. I'm simply reminding myself, I'm remembering, of the things I learned that hard summer 8 years ago. Simple things, but things that are too easy to forget. I learned things like I'm not indestructible. I'm not guaranteed 30 more years. 3 more years or 3 minutes. Each and every day is a gift, so make the most out of it. It's impossible to have any sort of self-dignity, he wrote jokingly, in a hospital gown. Talks about the humility he gained through the experience. I learned that God still answers prayers. I learned that it was okay to be scared and even to ask God why. I was blessed to have friends and family that surrounded me with support and love. I learned to have an amazing wife and caregiver who loved me and stayed with me and provided for me. And finally, I learned that real love is not the stuff you see in the movies or soap operas, but it's my wife telling me that I look great to her, even when I was pale, skinny, sick, and throwing up and too weak to do a thing. And he said, today I celebrate 8 years and I'm reminded once again of just how blessed I am. I know Brenda's letter this morning reminded all of us of how you do learn through our experiences that we often have, even though we don't desire those experiences, how we often gain the perspective of the many blessings we have. Deuteronomy says and teaches us, remember that we are a blessed people. And remember who blesses you. The next thing that Deuteronomy would say, that Moses would say, is found in chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Do not say, verse 6, know therefore that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stubborn people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place. For you have been rebellious against the Lord. Even at Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was angry with you, and he was ready to destroy you. Moses will go on and tell about the incident of the golden calf and things. What's the point? Moses says, remember, you made some mistakes. Remember your past failures and the need to learn from our past failures. These should keep us humble, and they should inspire us to not keep making the same mistake. What is it that Dave Ramsey says? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again when it causes you pain and harm. In other words, if you keep doing the dumb things, then that is the biggest problem. It's not doing one dumb thing or making one bad mistake, but it's making the same mistake over and over and over again. Basically, it's the refusal to learn from our mistakes. Everyone will make mistakes. Everyone is going to fall short. All of us mess up. But do we learn from our mistakes? Moses encourages them to remember. And I guess there's a point in everybody's failure that we have to look ourselves in the mirror and quit blaming everybody else and saying, you know, I know I'm in this situation, but it's because, and we list off, and we're angry and we're frustrated at other people because of the failure we're in. And at some point, we've got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, you know what? There might have been some other factors involved, but I've got to take responsibility for my part in this failure. And what am I going to learn from it? And I'm going to move on from it. I'm going to accept my responsibility, but I'm going to move on. And until we stop blaming everybody else and accept our own responsibility for our failures, we're often stuck in the past, and we're often stuck not able to go forward. Remember past failures and learn from them. They should keep us humble. And the last thing Moses would say, and this comes at the end of the book, Deuteronomy 32, verse 7, comes in the Song of Moses. And it's an interesting one, I thought. It says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. Remember the days of old. I think what Moses is saying is, there needs to be also a recollection of your history. Remember your history. History is important. Old Testament people were concerned about their family history, about future generations knowing about the past generations and the history of the nation of Israel. We need to tell our faith stories to the next generation. One of the reasons we're doing this project, and I hope that you'll be involved in it, we introduced it today with my bulletin article, and you can get some more insights through these pages we passed out. They're up here on the front. Where we're encouraging everyone to write up, and it doesn't have to be long, and it can be your own writing, and you can put in what you want, leave out what you want. You know, you got to be honest. But we want you to think about. We want to get encouraged. This is not in any way bragging. We don't want it to be like that. Bragging about what you've accomplished or what you have maybe overcome or what you've experienced. But just a recollection and some thought about what God has done and what changes have been brought into your life through the gospel of Jesus and how people in the church have influenced you. And I think that's a big part of remembering your history. We are a link in the chain, and we get encouragement from past links, even though they're dead. Maybe they're gone. We can still find faith and encouragement from our forefathers, don't we? We can think back to the previous